And you're very welcome back to the programme. Now, joining us, as always, on our Careers Corner is Liam Horan from Slieneua Careers. Good evening, Liam.
Good evening, Claire.
Now, the issue we're going to discuss today is how job candidates expect too much of themselves in interviews, and also tips to avoid your unrealistic expectations ruining your chances.
Yes, it's a very valid point, because people go to interviews with huge pressure on themselves and expect to perform at a level that is just not viable or feasible for them. So what I'd like to do this evening is give people, first of all, an understanding that, you know, you're not expected to perform or communicate at that level, and tips then you can use to ensure that you do a better job interview. The first thing I would say is people worry about their ums and their ahs. They worry about the sort of brief thinking time seconds they take while they wonder what they're going to say next. And regularly clients would say to me, oh God, that's bad, I shouldn't say I shouldn't say ah. Whereas I say in return, absolutely you should, because in communication where you're not reading a script, you're not reading the news, you're not reading out poetry, you must take time to think what you're going to say next. It's organic, it's happening there and then, and so it should be. It shouldn't feel like something you've prepared beforehand. So in that kind of natural, organic communication, it is inevitable you will take time to stop, to pause and to think, and there'll be an and an ah. So the first thing I would say, I suppose, to your listeners is to expect otherwise is a very unrealistic expectation. It'll put huge pressure on you for the interview, and it will take you away from your natural communication style. And when we communicate naturally, we communicate more coherently, it flows from us better, our ideas are better, our stories are better. So, you know, stop beating yourself up about your ums and your ahs. That's the first thing I would say in terms of unrealistic expectations people bring to interview.
And just in regard to that, the brief thinking time, say if it's a case that somebody uses it too frequently throughout the interview, does that turn the interview panel off somebody?
Okay, there's a fine line. When I say thinking time, you know, like on radio, as you know only too well, 5 seconds is a long time of dead time. But a second, half a second, is quite a while as well. You know, so you can take that time, but not much more than that. So, you know, there shouldn't be long
gaps,
looks out the window kind of thing. But, you know, allow yourself to gather your thoughts. If necessary, clarify. Another unrealistic expectation people have is that I should never ask the interview panel to clarify. Whereas, in fact, you should, because an interview is a knowledgeable conversation. And if you're uncertain about something in a conversation, you seek clarification before giving your view or moving on. So, you know, people in their overall sort of pantheon of unrealistic expectations, they seem to think that an interview belongs to a different form of communication completely, whereas in fact the challenge is, and the real trick is, to bring it to as natural a place as possible. Use your natural voice, stop to think if necessary, and ah will happen. If you listen to all broadcasters, they and ah as well, because they're thinking. So all of that, when I say this to people, it does liberate them, because they say, oh, it's okay to be like that, is it? There's no need to be, you know, this beautiful, seamless, elocution-type communicator. And there isn't. And there are very few people like that. And I often say to people, when driving home today from this session, listen to broadcasters, the very best of broadcasters, do all of the things that you think you shouldn't do in an interview. So do you think you're a better broadcaster, a better communicator than the best broadcasters in the world? That's not how it works. So, you know, give yourself a break, allow yourself to communicate naturally, and allow yourself to have your thinking times and your ums and your ahs.
So you're saying, in order, if you want to clarify something with the panel, that that's okay, it's not necessarily going to see you as being a weak candidate?
No, an interview is not a buzzer round. It's not. They're not measuring you on the speed of your response or the speed of your understanding a certain concept. In fact, in real conversation, we're constantly clarifying and probing. It's how we learn. So you say something, I clarify, what exactly do you mean by that? What's the nuance of that? And away we go from there. So an interview should be no different to that. You know, you're not expected to come in with your script and just stick to that without deviation. So allow it to happen naturally. Another thing I would say that an unrealistic expectation people have is the whole expectation of, this interview has to go brilliantly for me to win it. You know, that I cannot make a single error of, you know, of communication, or I can't have a single weakness in terms of the job spec. And this is not true either. You know, the winning candidate will rarely win every single category that the interview panel set up. So if they have 10 things they're looking for, it's very rare that somebody will have all 10 numbers in the lotto, so to speak. So you need to allow yourself to do middling in certain parts, do well in certain parts, and maybe even do poorly in a part or two, because this is the way it goes. Other candidates will be going through the exact same experience that you're going through, and that's who you're up against. You're up against other people like yourself who are coming to the interview nervous, uptight, wondering how it's going to go, who have some things that are not great in their CV or not great in their career history, have some things that are excellent. This is the mix and match of what goes to interview, and understand that and allow yourself to do, as I said, poor, middling, brilliantly, average, whatever it brings you to, and move on to the next question and away you go, because that's what everybody else is going to be doing as well.
But I would imagine that if you had a weak point in the interview, that you'd certainly need to balance that up with something positive fairly swiftly after it.
Yes, and you can even take your weaknesses and make those into strong points. So, for example, if you don't have knowledge of a particular software program which is down as desirable in the job spec, you can make that very clear. I haven't worked with this program before. However, I have previously adapted to other programs. In my last job, I didn't know such and such a program. I adapted to that. In 3 months, I learned, got up totally up to speed. And what you're saying subtly to the interview panel is, I might have a weakness there now, but it's not a completely fatal one, and I will learn it, and there are other reasons to hire me. So if it's going to take me 3 months to get up to speed, in 3 months' time, look what else I have as well. So, what I say to people is, don't be unrealistic in your expectation that you're going to win every category, but in the categories you don't win, try to come second, try to come third, maybe fourth. All of this together, when aggregated, could be exactly what you need to win, to get the job, So it's all about not expecting the whole thing to be absolutely 10 out of 10 all the way through.
So even with your weaknesses, how could you communicate to the panel that you do have a weakness but turn that into a positive experience? How would you go about that?
So first of all, if it's a weakness they believe, that they know you have. So if it's quite obvious from your CV there's something you don't have that they're looking for, let's say it's experience of managing people or experience of managing in a particular section, we'll say, you can volunteer that. You can say at the end of the interview, when they ask you any questions, you can say, I know that I don't have that particular area, the level of expertise you're looking for in that area. What I will say is that I'm a very quick learner. I have parallel experience in another area. I have very similar experience, or I have previously overcome some shortcomings in my career profile. And in fact, as I said, in my last job, I overcame the following weakness or the following shortcoming and went on to be very, very strong at it. And I undertake to do whatever needs to be done to make sure that I get to the level I need to get to in this. So a huge thing in interviews, and this is something else that is unrealistic with people, is they don't understand quite often how important your attitude is. Communicating an attitude of willingness to learn, willingness to work hard, do whatever it takes, it really impresses interview panels. In America, as I've said here before, a sort of cri du jour in the recruitment world is you hire for attitude, not talent. Attitude, that there's a whole body of work academically and in mainstream now as well, looking at how talent regularly fails in sporting, in music, in all sorts of environments, but that hard work frequently over, our attitude and hard work frequently leads to overachievement. So communicate excellent attitude to balance out the fact that maybe you don't have the exact expertise right now.
And is attitude something that all panels would look for in an interview?
Yes, I believe it's a common one. I mean, obviously, in interview panels, when they sit to discuss the candidates afterwards, some people may argue, look, they have a great attitude, but the expertise lies elsewhere, or there's greater expertise there. But as I touched on earlier, attitude could be the deciding point. It could be the one thing that gets you past somebody else. When interview panels sit down to discuss who the winning candidate is going to be, they look at all sorts of things, they mix it up, and they see which way it falls. Good attitude never does you any harm. People like to see people wearing their heart on their sleeve, so to speak, expressing a desire to work hard, to learn whatever is needed. So it never does you any harm. And there are times that I've been on panels, indeed, where attitude was the deciding factor. So it's a good thing to bring in, and I reference it here particularly because a lot of candidates understate or underestimate the value of displaying that attitude in an interview.
And in terms of attitude, are you referring to explaining like a can-do attitude and your ability to perform on the job and what you're willing to do? Is that
yes, your willingness to learn, to take things on, to try out new things. You know, from an interview panel's perspective, they're evaluating you from the perspective of what kind of employee will you be? Are there somebody they feel that they can get the best out of? Can they direct you? Will you take direction? Will you take guidance? Or do you come across as somebody who feels they know it all or is closed about themselves? And that's something that's been assessed as well. And that's something that is underestimated by people too, the whole extent to which, you know, it's a human being they're hiring here, and they're evaluating your personality traits, your attitude, as I said, to work, your willingness to learn. All of these are being evaluated just as much as your expertise is being evaluated, because when you pull into the car park on a Monday morning, they want to hopefully look forward to you arriving, as opposed to, oh no, not her again, she's a right pain kind of thing. So, you know, your personality traits, of which attitude is a part, are being evaluated as well.
Okay, so you're saying that personality and attitude are becoming a major part of interviewing.
Yeah, a lot of what goes on in recruitment is derived from America. America tends to be the market leader in terms of innovation, be it in technology, the technology of recruitment, and lots of other areas. And that's a very common phrase and a very common approach in America. And you know, you will find that it'll become more and more so here. But there are people who never studied HR, who never studied recruitment, who never worked in that area, who also have a very instinctive understanding of, give me somebody who wants to learn and I can make something out of them. But if they don't want to learn, no matter how talented they are, they will underachieve.
So really you're saying that it's your attitude that can win the interview and not necessarily your skills and abilities?
Yeah, skills and abilities are important, but attitude can make a difference, and it's frequently underestimated and left outside the door by the candidate.
Very good. Well, there, Liam, we must leave it for this evening, but no doubt we'll be speaking to you again next Monday evening, and thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you very much, Claire.